Hey, I just jumped right in and we're back. And I didn't even tell you guys I was jumping right in. But we're back. We're in here. And we are doing kind of amalgam episode. Actually, this is an episode of Pop Culture Comic Pod. And we are on location at the Beer Sauce Shop for the second time in the history of the Pop Culture Comic Pod.
Yeah.
Comic Pod. And I think for the first, correct me if I'm wrong, but for the first time in the spinoff podcast, the comic book, when we have our, well our first real guest. The other guest was Missy, who doesn't count. She knows nothing about comics.
What did she come on for?
She wanted to drink the beer.
Oh, that's right.
It was the last time we were here for the very first
on location one.
Yeah, it was
the
very
Hellboy, first. The pancake one.
All right. So the voices you heard, the closest to me in the normal voice, you know, is always on John Bender. Next to him is Jeremiah, who doesn't count.
Yep.
But then after that would be Nerdcast Jay back.
Hey, how's it going?
First real guest on our comic show, and the second time in a matter of 3 episodes that he's been on our show.
I'm pretty sure he's replaced Tom now.
Actually, as you listen to this, I said second time in 3 episodes, but it's actually back-to-back episodes.
Yeah, because we didn't release
We did not release the one we recorded last because it was a bad episode.
Yeah.
Like, it was the first time the four of us had been together, talking about the Badger and the flop as well.
Yeah.
There was constant interruption. There was a silly argument over the women's national team in the USA Soccer.
Yeah, Tom picked a hill to die on.
Not the right one. Very chauvinistic stance. In the Me Too world we live in, not the way you want to go. And then just a bunch of other silly things. So we did not release it. But that's okay, because what we're doing is I'm going to record this and I'll try to edit it today. I'm going to do my darndest because, like I told you guys earlier, that me and the flop are going to try to celebrate our 10th anniversary. Finally, 4 days late tonight. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. But that said, we are here at the Beer Sauce Shop on location for the release of the third Hellboy beer, which is Johann Kraus. I think I said that with the right accent. Which is a wit, right? It is a citrus wit.
Yes.
And I got it confused because Bender and I looked up because this week at Gigantic Brewing, they're releasing the new one already this weekend.
The Abe Sapien.
Which is Abe Sapien, which is a blue beer because it's made with natural indigo in the beer.
Interesting.
And it is I can't remember what we said
I'm
it was.
Looking it up, man.
But yeah, so I when it poured, I go, well, you guys lied. So I was like, because that is not a blue beer whatsoever. So we're here for that, and we're drinking it, and probably by the end of the episode, we'll get to reviewing it. But before we do that, it's also another major week in comic books. Actually, I guess you could say still this is the biggest week in comics.
But we don't get a lot of comics out of it anymore.
No.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
I guess this is still technically bigger than, say, Free Comic Book Day, but... of course, we're talking about San Diego Comic-Con, which is now known as Comic-Con International, a.k.a. Marvel Movie Extravaganza, which is what you might as well call it.
Pretty much.
So we're gonna break down some news we heard from that. And the way I did it is, since this is a comic book podcast, we're gonna try to breeze through the movie. And of course, we're going to comment on them and TV announcements. And I did, and I know you brought some notes too, Jay. John, I know you did no research whatsoever.
I watched like 9 trailers.
Yeah, about a comic book podcast. And then we're going to talk about some of the comic book news you have to dig through the weeds to find the comic book news that was unveiled
tough.
There.
You Google it at all, and everything is just mostly what Marvel has announced. Marvel
Studios. Blew up last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went crazy last night.
Yeah.
And I guess that's where we can jump right into, because the first thing I put on here was movies. And we're going to separate the TV and movies, so let's just do the movies. Marvel went insane with its releases last night. And I'm going to read down, and if I forget anything, definitely jump in. Or if you want to expound on anything, let me know. So one of the movies they showed was they didn't show it, but they announced the date for Black Widow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson did talk a little and saying it's the right time and blah, blah, blah.
And they had clips, apparently.
Oh, yeah, they did have clips.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, so
they didn't release them.
Okay,
yeah.
Unreleased
clips.
They haven't leaked yet either.
And they will.
Yeah.
The next one I have, which these first three apparently are in chronological order of how they're releasing them. So the next release would be Eternals. The big thing with Eternals is 3 of the names of the cast. I know there's a lot. No disrespect to the rest of the people, but the 3 biggest names that popped for me was Angelina Jolie, Salma Hayek, and soon-to-be leading man Kumail Nanjiani.
Yes.
Well, and there's also, was it Richard Madden from Game of Thrones?
That's right.
Stark.
Oh, that's right.
Brian Tyree Henry and Richard Madden will star as well. And apparently there's a deaf character. One of the main actors is deaf, and that was the big thing.
Oh, so it's an actual... no one's acting deaf. She really is deaf.
No, it's genuinely... They said it was groundbreaking for the what is it? Disabilities community.
Disabled community? Disabled for the community. Hearing impaired?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. This year, a girl won a Tony, Best Actress in Broadway, in a wheelchair. She was a real wheelchair-based actress, and the character she portrayed was not written as a person with in a wheelchair. So, it's a new world, John.
Yeah, very progressive.
Yeah. We should pat ourselves on the back for even knowing about it. After that, who's the director of the... It is
directed by Chloe Zhao.
I think it's Chloe Zoe. I'm just going to say.
Is Chinese and known for a little scene art film like The Writer.
I said. I saw it was The Writer. I don't know anything about it.
I don't either.
It made $2.4 million worldwide, so...
Ooh, it probably costs $100,000 to make, a good return on investment. I mean, at this point, do we just trust Marvel?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, Taika Waititi wasn't really a household name.
But at least everything he made had a massive following in the community, in genre community.
Yeah.
They don't make mistakes. They rolled the dice on Jon Favreau.
Also, China's, the second largest movie market in the world? So giving a Chinese director...
Arguably, it's the largest. Yeah, it actually makes more money than us, but you still are considered a success if you do it in America.
Yeah, right. But giving a Chinese director a shot at a unknown, mostly unknown title from Marvel...
We talked about it. It's probably my least interesting of the Marvel movies coming out. And not...
Comic?
Well, Neil Gaiman did it, but it's been around a long time. They're probably my least... I have least interest in the Eternals as a title ever. And I didn't particularly enjoy the Neil Gaiman run.
I haven't read it.
I'm reading his run right now, and I'm liking it. It's just hard to get into when there's so many other good books out there.
Yeah, and so the one thing I'll say is they first off, they put two... Even though I apologize to women in the world for saying this, even two aging women, but they're two of the historically hottest women in the history of Hollywood. And they're not going to do it, but the Eternals in the comic are naked a lot. And in the...
Angelina Jolie might.
Yeah, she never know.
And then, well, Simulac does too.
But you're putting also a very hot property and a very funny guy in Kumail Nanjiani, who I've watched since his days of coming up from his reputation with Nerdist and Harmontown and Nerd Milk Theater, and now he's... got Stuber and just...
Which bombed, but...
It did bomb, but I hear it's funny.
Yeah.
But it also bombed because there's no place in the world for...
Yeah, comedy movies like that don't normally do well. It's always on the... they're out on disc or like HBO.
Yeah, they get a fan base afterwards.
Speaking of bombing comedy movies and news, the reason I thought of this is because that Sherlock bombed with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. They just announced, not at Comic-Con, but for the first time, Will Ferrell and Adam McKay are parting ways.
Oh, really?
They've been writing team for the better part of two decades, and now they're breaking up, which is odd. Next movie, one I am excited about, Shang-Chi, Legend of the Ten Rings.
Yeah.
That's actually got a full cast, and we're going to see the real Mandarin, not the...
That was the most exciting part of it.
Yeah.
Iron Man 3 was such a letdown when they revealed that Travis Slattery was an actor.
So it was a letdown, but it still made sense in terms of the story. It wasn't... I was okay with it, but I did want to see... want to see the Mandarin.
It got my hopes up, and then when they showed it wasn't really him, I was really disappointed because that is Iron Man's number one villain.
Yeah. It is his big one.
I just felt like he deserved more.
Plus, they've been doing it. We saw Spider-Man Far From Home. I don't know if you saw it yet, but they did a good job of circling back to a lot of the earlier properties. And this Ten Rings thing, that goes all the way back to Iron Man 1, where the terrorist bad guy had the ring on. That kind of alluded to...
Yeah, they actually mentioned it in Iron Man 1. It was a good Easter egg.
Yeah.
And then nothing.
And it just went away, which is fine, but it's cool to see that they're trying to bring that back. And
and there's probably good story to play off that.
Yeah.
That they used an old legend for the characters, why it was so successful or something, you know what I mean?
Well, didn't they go circle back to it, too, in one of those shorts that they did for the DVDs?
I don't know.
Travis Slattery was in jail, and someone accosted him that was part of the real Mandarin's group or something?
Oh,
I never saw it. I just read about it.
Well, this is interesting.
Worth checking out.
I'm excited, and I'm definitely not demeaning. I don't even feel I have to qualify, but they're also finally going to appeal to the historically whitewashed Hollywood and have this all Asian cast, which is awesome.
Yeah, the main actor is Canadian Chinese actor Simu Liu.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and then Awkwafina, which she's in basically everything now.
She's another super hot property, yeah. Writer, so, director, comic,
are they
going
to get rid of the like Asian stereotypes that they used to build the character in the comics?
Oh, I'm sure.
I
hope so.
or play on it as a joke. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, a hint that it was
there. I could see a joke or two in there about it.
Yeah. Yeah, reference it like if they ever finally do a Power Man and Iron Fist, like make fun of Iron Power Man's outfits from the 70s.
So I hope it comes out like a true kung fu movie, because Marvel's been really good at going into different genres and pulling them in. So hopefully this is their take on it.
We're going to get to the genre genre bending thing too here in a little bit, or at least breaking through different genres. But the next film, speaking of putting a minority or at least helping out with. A good look for your company. Thor, Love and Thunder.
Yes. Yeah.
Worst name ever.
Yeah.
For a movie.
Feels very 80s.
It feels very Taika Waititi is what it feels.
Yes, it does.
And so he's back to write and direct it. Mm-hmm. And the biggest news about it, Natalie Portman is not only back as Jane Foster, but Jane Foster is going to wield the hammer.
Yes.
Which, you love that story arc, right?
Yeah, it's a great story arc by Jason Aaron in the comics.
Did
I
you
really
read it?
I haven't read it. That's one that's like in my queue on Unlimited, but I just haven't gotten to it.
Jason Aaron's entire run is very, very good.
I really haven't found anything of his that I didn't like.
Oh, yeah, so, Jason Aaron's great, yeah.
But first off, the hammer's broken, so.
Yeah, which maybe when it gets remade, maybe that's the reason he's deemed unworthy, because he allowed it to get broke, and then he allowed himself to get fat and depressed, and maybe there's a lot of things that could go. I mean, it's an easy story to tell, which, you know, I've made an argument over the past few years that there is, and we're going to get to ComicsGate by the end of this episode, but there's like forced progression progressiveness in comics. And not that it was, because Jason Aaron is a great storyteller, but there is some of that. But in terms of the MCU, they could tell a really good story on why he doesn't have the hammer.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
why someone else is
in
getting
it. In the comic, it is a very good story.
Yeah,
where he becomes unworthy, and it's a fun run. And he does his own thing with the axe and all that stuff. It's worth checking out in and of itself. Now, I can't believe they got Natalie Portman back, though.
Well, I have to pose one question.
Uh-huh.
So, will Natalie Portman buff up and hold the hammer, or will she transform and some very tall, very Amazonian athletic woman be? Because you have Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
You expect to use Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
But if she's the female Thor, she should be bigger than Natalie Portman.
Yeah, she's bigger in the comic.
Yeah, she transforms.
Well, she's got cancer and she's dying in the comic. So then when she transforms, she's, you know, much larger.
Yeah.
Well, in the comic, though, wasn't Thor, when he turned into Eric Masterson, a little bit smaller, but they never really touched on that.
Yeah,
well, but the thing there is you can easily do that because Thor's Thor.
Yeah.
And, you know, they kind of just disregarded that part of the mythology. But in this one, you already have Jane Foster.
Yeah.
So I guess they can say the same thing, too. She just gets on a suit. Maybe she'll you know what? It would be cool if she doubles up. They whether it's CG or makeup or whatever, dress her down like she does have cancer, and then when she puts it on, she's gonna get buffed. That's what actors do.
Pretty fit for Captain Marvel.
And what's his face? Chris Pratt. I mean, that's as big a transformation as anyone's made.
On the flip side is they shrunk down Chris Evans to be Captain America prior to the everything. So,
which is still surreal to look back and see it. Doesn't look fake, but yet it is looks fake. It's a weird look.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it, like, I don't know. Have you seen Captain Marvel?
Yeah.
So, like, the de-aging of Samuel L. Jackson in that was flawless.
But, yeah.
Like, blew my mind how good they did
this was their second round of doing that, because they did it with Michael Douglas in Ant-Man.
Yeah, but that was a scene or two.
Yeah, no, like, that's what I mean. It's like they learned, and now they're doing it again.
So they could keep Natalie Portman and just make her slightly bigger through CG.
And see, I think they're smarter than DC, because we watched Shazam the other night. And
see, I haven't watched that yet.
Zachary Levi, it looks like the suit, not him.
It looks like a skin suit?
I still...
Fake muscles in it.
Yeah. It's fake muscles.
Yeah,
he's not
that big.
He bulked up, but not that big. No.
Yeah.
He's not Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to where how much Marvel's better than DC overall here in a little bit, too. But speaking of branching off into other genres. This is exciting to me, too, because Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness was announced.
Yes.
They also announced that Elizabeth Olsen, Scarlet Witch, will be joining it.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
And it's going to tie into her TV show.
Yes.
Yes.
And
Scarlet Vision.
Scarlet Vision.
Whatever. We'll talk about that, too. Well, we'll just at least mention it.
That's it.
But more importantly, they said it will be the first scary movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, really?
Is what they said.
Nice.
I'm torn on that because my kids love these movies, and they're going to want to see every single one of them.
Yeah. Well, you it'll be a PG-13 scary
movie. I'm hoping so,
Straight horror.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
As long as they can make it approachable for kids still.
I mean, look what they've done. The PG-13 horror genre has grown big time in the last 5-6 years with those Annabelles and Insidious. Those are all PG-13. It's just the mood they create.
Yeah.
So they can do that, but you're right. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah.
And it's still Benedict Cumberbatch. Charisma and up the whole thing.
I think it'll still be approachable.
Yeah. It's gonna be one where I'll go see it first and then decide if they can see it or wait till it comes out.
How old are your kids?
My oldest is 11. My youngest is 8.
Okay.
And then he's got one right in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then after that, I mentioned Blade Reboot, which was one that they actually gave us a little bit of the cast, and I've got it written out here, but I don't know how
to pronounce it.
I think it's Mahershala Ali.
Yeah.
Mahershala Ali sounds right.
Yeah.
And great actor.
Yeah. Yes.
Great actor.
He was the best part of Netflix's Luke Cage season one. Once they, spoiler alert, killed him off in the show, that show didn't
get very
uninteresting.
Is he the second Marvel character or actor to do double duty in Marvel?
Chris Evans.
And him? I think he is. He's two characters. I'm sorry. Josh Brolin. Josh Brolin is Thanos and Cable. So.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, technically it was Cable and before it was Disney. Well, yeah.
Yeah, but still. I mean, it's Marvel. The bigger news there is it's not Wesley Snipes.
Chris Evans, too.
That was the first one we were talking about. Yeah, Chris Evans, yeah.
But the way you were talking about like these being kid approachable, I think Blade has to be rated R.
I do too.
Like the original was awesome.
Like it.
And Deadpool's going to be rated R.
I don't know if anybody's looked. Did they confirm that they're going to do Deadpool?
Yeah,
3?
They still haven't. They've been saying it's going a new direction. They don't know.
They mentioned Fantastic Four and X-Men, but they didn't have time to talk about them.
Yeah.
So they're not part of Phase 4.
That's where I was going to end on, but they did show an eye, a symbol on there.
For Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
But I think that it'd be a huge mistake if they don't make Blade their first rated R like Marvel movie. If they're going
to
bring it into the canon, I'd be all right with them keeping it separate.
Yeah, I would too.
But like I said, it's good that it's not Wesley Snipes because they toyed with the idea of, or at least it was bounced around.
To bring him
maybe
back.
That was a red herring. Maybe, and he can be in
it. I think that was more him.
Oh, that makes sense, too. Yeah. He's a nut job. The closest, he's borderline made mistakes. He's made mistakes, but then he's came close. There was a one chant time where Joe Rogan was offered $3 million to fight Wesley Snipes, and it was Wesley Snipes' camp that did it, like, come up with the idea. And so Joe accepted, and luckily for Wesley Snipes, that he decided to pass on it.
Yeah.
And then he went to jail. And Joe,
so that's Bieber... Tom Cruise round one,
and Joe even said he's like Joe Rogan, history and Joe Rogan, he did point fighting when he was like 18, 19. Mm-hmm. He even talked, and he is a legit martial artist, and he even says all the time, he goes, hey, I don't want to fight, I don't like to fight, but when they said $3 million, he goes, I will mess Wesley Snipes up for $3 million. He goes, he's in trouble.
All right. Wesley Snipes big? I have no idea.
It's all show muscles, where Rogan's a legit martial artist.
So, with them recasting him as Blade, does this pretty much say that Netflix shows never happened in
I think that that's official.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the Netflix shows, the writer for the Disney thing is like those characters have to stay dead for 3 years or something before they can bring them back into the Marvel Disney universe.
Which the way they release films, no one's going to, when they come back, people go, oh, I can't believe it's been 3 years already.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next thing, I didn't have bring up any, didn't go deep onto any notes on anything. They did confirm Black Panther 2, Guardians 3. They talked about Fantastic Four and X-Men, which is great because they talked about them. I wanted to bring up one thing, and Bender and I talked about this yesterday, and I am 100% on board of Billy, or what's his name, Dacre Williamson from Stranger Things, the bad guy, as Wolverine. If they legitimately go that way, I'm all. He's shorter than Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
He's young, yes, but you can do some stuff with the hair and the makeup and stuff.
Yeah.
But
throw some chest hair on him.
Great actor. The guy, they've even talked about him in as Adam Warlock, but that's, look, if you don't put Zac Efron as Adam Warlock with the with that body, I mean, it's, you're making a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited. A fantastic, a good. Everybody has messed up the Fantastic Four. What? No one. I mean, between the three films that were made, the David Cronenberg style. Let's not even forget that.
Yeah.
The other two, they've just never captured what's great about Fantastic Four. They're a Swiss Family Robinson.
Yeah. Yeah. The old Fantastic Four was they were rolling off of the Spider-Man, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man campiness, and then they were trying to follow that formula, and it just wasn't any fun.
Yeah, and the reason they all suck, too, the biggest reason they all suck, in addition to just being sucky movies, is it's one of the two or three greatest villains on the planet, and they've never got the villain
right
in Doctor Doom.
Which is somebody they could use for the overarching Thanos type.
Yeah, it could combine a bunch of different stories. Yeah.
I think, now do you think that the Doctor Strange movie with the multiverse stuff will directly lead into that Fantastic Four?
Hell, it could directly lead into X-Men. There's a lot they could do with it. Which, that post-credit scene, see what that's going
to be. I think that'll bring in, that'll probably announce like Phase 5 or whatever.
That's what I think too.
Yeah.
So, do you have any? Did you think of any other Marvel-related films that I haven't touched on here, Jay?
No, they did touch on a lot of the shows that they're going to do on Disney Plus.
We're going to get that next.
But that all seemed like, instead of doing all the movies they've done in the past, they're doing half the movies and then the shows to kind of compensate for it.
Yeah, yeah. So if you don't have John, obviously you didn't because you didn't do any research whatsoever. But
it's here for my looks.
On a podcast, it works.
Yeah,
it
sells.
DC. So one of the reasons we said that Marvel's better than DC in terms of movies for sure is DC had little to zero news on any movies.
I think they said Wednesday they weren't bringing anything from Birds of Prey.
Suicide Squad 2, right?
Well, Suicide Squad 2, and then there's also Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think those are the only two movies that they have, like,
in production.
And then,
so, yeah, so that makes them shitty, though.
Yeah.
You know, and what they did bring, and this is, Bender and I have talked about this for years, and I'm sure you have as well, Jay. I think this is the first time we've talked about it. But one thing they did do well, and the one thing they do dominate over Marvel is their animated universe.
Yeah. Yes.
And they did bring out the trailer for Harley Quinn. They announced Superman Man of Tomorrow, which will be the second original story for their animated films. Batman Hush.
Yeah.
And then, but the problem is that the only way they can make waves? And I'm okay with the animated universe. I love it.
Yeah. I think they did some TV announcements.
And we're going to get to those.
Yeah. But on the DC side, like that, yeah, DC struggles with the movies, but they do very good, I think, to see all the CW shows are entertaining at the very least.
Yeah.
And most of those animated movies are pretty good.
Yeah, I love them.
So is there not a reason they haven't taken the TV and animated people and be like, we're going to throw you at the movies and just see what happens?
Yeah.
You obviously know what you're doing.
Walt Disney doesn't want to do that.
It's not Disney.
I mean, not Walt Disney. I mean, Warner Brothers doesn't want to do that.
That's literally the only reason. They're stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and to be honest with you, the TV stuff works because it's not movies. But they're so, you know what I mean? I mean, you can make those TV shows, but if you get to movies, you got to go a little bigger.
So my issue with the TV shows is they're so repetitive. They use the same formula.
Yeah.
Going back to Smallville.
Yeah.
Beginning of each episode, him and Lana did not get along. He was the weirdo. And by the end of it, they almost kissed every single week.
Yes.
I hated Smallville. Spoiler alert. And maybe it'll shock some people. I hated Smallville.
So my son watches most of the
CW verse.
I watch Flash with them, which I think is pretty entertaining. It's a very formulaic thing. Like every episode is exactly the same. I call it the house formula. We're like, oh, we don't know what we're gonna do, and by the end they solve it in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, but it's fun though, and all of the characters are like his group of characters are very interesting and fun, and the villains are very campy, and I like that part, and I think that's probably why they don't bring them over to the movie world, because they're struggling, but they're trying to, you know, fight the 800-pound gorilla in the room, which is Disney and Marvel. So all of that stuff on TV is very campy. But I think, like, the guy, I forget his name, who plays Green Arrow, Scott.
Stephen Amell.
Stephen Amell,
awesome. Pro wrestling fan.
I think he could transfer to the big screen easily.
Well, we'll talk about him here in a little bit too. You know, the thing about it is I don't get it. I understand the logic that we don't want to just duplicate what our competitor's doing, but here's the thing. It's comic book related stuff.
Yeah.
Well, about
you've been
superheroes
stealing from each other all
duplicate the... away. Yeah. You have your own characters. Just go make good movies.
Yeah.
Quit
yeah.
trying to make different movies. Make good movies.
Isn't like the Wade Wilson Deadpool's
a complete ripoff Deathstroke.
Isn't
Deathstroke Slade Wilson, yeah.
Slade Wilson. Isn't Deathstroke like a movie coming out with
the guy
from True Blood?
Well,
or is he in something?
Yeah, Manganiello was
Manganiello.
One of the most dreamy men in Hollywood.
Yeah.
He was at the end of post-credit scene of Dawn of Justice, he revealed himself as Deathstroke.
And but, the original plan, I think, was him to be the bad guy in Batman before Matt Reeves took over.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now they're going younger. And by the way, I'm going to say it. I'm excited about the casting for Batman.
Yeah.
I am too.
He's a great actor. People get shit on him because all they know is Twilight. He hates Twilight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give him a break.
But he made a bunch of money. And he's proven himself in all those indie movies afterwards that he's a spectacular actor.
Absolutely.
My only thing is, like, that dude is skinny. Are they gonna be able to buff him up?
Plus, I mean, of all the people, Batman wears armor.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Christian Bale wasn't the most buff guy when he took over as Batman.
Yeah, and then he all buffed up too. I mean, you just have to know that when your job is to be attractive, you can get buff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and jump into the other movies real quick. They showed the poster of Zombieland 2,
yep.
which is exciting. This is not. None of these. Some of these may not be comic book related, but Top Gun Maverick, we talked about it.
It did nothing for me.
Maybe one of the worst dialogues, but most awesome scenes.
I didn't even watch it. I will go see it.
My
kids want to see the first one, so we have it sitting at home to watch. But I'll go see it. I had no interest.
Technology has made those. That's going to make those scenes amazing.
Yeah. My wife watched it, and she goes, "How would Tom Cruise and Ed Harris still be active military at that point?"
Well, that's what the trailer touches on.
They do touch on that. He's like, you should be a lieutenant.
He says you should be an admiral by now.
And he's like, why not? And he goes,
things just don't work out. Sometimes things just don't work out. But my wife, that's her favorite film, the first one. So
Rich has never watched it.
She's weird. She's young. She's young, John.
She's 34.
That's young.
Guess.
She was negative two when that movie came out. Of course, the big one for the genre, you know, that's related to genre, Jay and Silent Bob reboot, which was like day one of Comic-Con. They showed the trailer.
That looks like a lot of fun.
I can't wait for it. Kevin Smith promises that he's still in the Q&A, said, "I'm still making Clerks 3. And one of the reasons that all this is going to be possible, and I know this sounds weird, but Ben Affleck is back.
Yeah.
I was watching the preview and I turned away and I heard bung. And I'm like, no!
Yeah. Back. Affleck is back.
Because everything leading up to that preview was they weren't even talking still.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he showed up after an interview where he said, "Well, I wasn't approached to do it. I'd be happy to do it."
Yeah. And Kevin Smith showed an Instagram post that said, "My boyfriend is back." And so, side note to that, Missy and I bought our tickets for the roadshow to watch the movie at the pageant and
do the
Q&A after. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
They were $40 each, plus the ticket mask. If you want center orchestra, $200 each. We got balcony, the bar ledge at the pageant, because easy in and out, bars right there.
That's where we sat when they did the Jay and Silent Bob Groovy Movie tour.
Yeah, see, I didn't do that one. Missy did that
one.
Yeah. She did that one without me, because she's a horrible wife.
They were good seats, though, because you could still see everything, and you could still
move about the cabin directly or freely.
Know, as much as Missy claims that she's not a nerd, she does a lot of nerdy
pretty nerd. Pretty big nerd, yeah. Yeah, she's a closet nerd.
Yeah.
We're excited about that. Is there any other non-DC Marvel-related movies that you saw?
It too.
Yeah, and that's coming out next month, or September.
Yeah.
That's a family movie for my family.
I didn't see the first one. That's not the style of movie I see.
The first one is so good, though.
It's very good.
If you like Stranger Things, you should probably watch the first
one. I'll probably see it. My wife would not be able to go to sleep that night.
No group sexing, either. No running the train,
which the books
offer. So, my daughter, Hayden thought it was the funniest movie of the year last year. She loved it.
And
they, yeah. She up until the garage scene, she thought this is hilarious. And then after the garage scene, the stakes got real for her, and she stayed involved because she didn't want any of the kids to die. And she even's like, "Just tell me no one dies. Tell me no one dies. If no one dies, Hayden." So, but my girls are excited for the next one. So. Yeah. Showing you what awesome parents we are.
Yeah.
Next would be TV. Let's roll through TV.
Okay.
And if you have a comment. If I miss something. But Marvel announced What If, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, WandaVision, Hawkeye, and Jeremy Renner. He screwed up and released the teaser for that.
Oh, did
the
he really?
Tease. Yeah, he wasn't supposed to.
Oh, the Kate Bishop stuff?
Yeah, and then Loki.
Yeah.
Those are the big ones that
I saw.
Yeah,
the What If is an animated show, though.
Oh, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but they got all the voice talent there.
Yeah it's that's the good thing. That's
I ran through the list, and Aaron's like, "Well, I don't hear Robert Downey Jr. or Chris Evans."
They're dead.
Yeah.
But it's well, What If. They can yeah, go it back is and What If. Anything, yeah. So.
And that could be a What If a big surprise happens.
Yeah.
So this is where DC does do a good job. First and foremost, I'm super excited about HBO's Watchmen. That full trailer looked awesome.
Oh, man.
I didn't watch it yet.
Oh, it's awesome. Arrow says goodbye at Comic-Con.
Yeah. Yeah.
Preacher takes a bow as well. And by the way, at that panel, Seth Rogen took a shot at Game of Thrones showrunners.
Oh, really?
Because they no-showed.
Yeah, they said,
out.
"What are you worried about having a letdown on your season finale?" Like, he goes, "Well, as compared to the Game of Thrones showrunners, I'm here, so maybe that's a good sign."
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he doubled down on it. He goes, "I guarantee that if they had it to do over again, they would not make Bran Stark king." Sorry, spoiler alert, people. And Seth Rogen goes, "As from a guy that creates, that's the most boring story in the whole show."
Yeah but I thought that was most fitting. I didn't mind
that part
of it.
I see both sides of it.
I didn't mind that part of it at all. It's just the stuff that led up to it.
Yeah. I don't know. It was boring, and I thought it was stupid.
Let's keep it rolling. Supergirl returns, and she gets pants.
Yeah. Jeremiah watches that show.
Yep.
My family watches it. When one of the characters from the first couple seasons is back, they have a female Brainiac.
Yep.
And they're introducing two new characters. So... They announced quite a bit for it.
Speaking of returns, The Flash comes back, and Brandon Routh will return as Superman.
Kingdom Come Superman.
I know. It's a good deal. It's a smart casting.
Yeah.
So,
well, he's in DC Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah. So he's pulling double duty in DC.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if Legends is going to be in the crossover. I think it's just going to be the three main shows, and that's going to be off on its own again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which is okay, because the way Legends is a serialized story, it's fine.
They bring him back every once in a while, because I only watch The Flash, but they'll do, you know, like Crisis and, whatever.
They did Elseworlds last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had to watch a DC Legends, either last year or the year before, whatever.
It was the year before.
And am I wrong? Is it a Kingdom Come story in The Flash?
No, it's actual Crisis.
Crisis, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's it.
All
right,
so they're going to bring in all the different multiverses and, like, in Elseworlds, they brought back the Flash from the TV show when we were younger.
Yes.
He played himself. He didn't play Jay Garrick from Earth 2 like he did earlier in the in the show. Crisis is going to be probably the only thing I watch of those shows, just for what it is.
Yeah, because it's the first big one.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is the first big Secret Wars. I think Crisis came before Secret Wars, right?
They were pretty close to each other.
They're pretty close together, but Crisis was the first one that got, like, massive, you know.
Well, and you killed Barry and you killed Supergirl.
Yeah.
See,
Two iconic moments.
I didn't read any of the... I don't really read a lot of crossover events.
I think Crisis still holds up with Anthony.
It does.
Wonder.
I read it a few years ago.
Really
I think
does.
My kids are going to read it to get ready for the show.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Cool.
Another show that they had more... They showed more of, Batwoman. Very hot leading actress, which for coming off of Orange and John Wick and The Meg. Don't forget choosing The Meg.
I think she was, you said Gemma. Yeah.
Yeah. Batwoman looks fine to me.
I'll watch it.
And she did good in the Elseworld part that she was in.
Yeah.
So.
The trolls are up in arms over it. That they're ruining.
They always are. But that character.
But that's almost a good sign, right? If the trolls get up in arm, then I'm officially in because I want to make them mad.
Yeah. The Batwoman book, at least what they're basing the first season.
She was a lesbian,
that's a very solid run too.
Yeah. And so everything they're mad at was they should have.
It's established.
They should have been mad 5 years, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Titans, the DCU app is coming back with Titans Season 2.
See, I thought the DCU app was done.
No.
I thought they were killing it.
They killed a lot of shows.
They were going to kill it because WB is going to have their own app, and everything's going to move over there eventually, but I think they're going to keep using it until that's ready.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then also Doom Patrol Season 2, which so Swamp Thing was killed before it even got off the ground.
Right. Yeah, and that was a tax issue.
That's what they said, but then the city came out, or North Carolina came out and said that wasn't the case.
Yeah, you blame it on anything.
Yeah.
Just don't admit that you messed up.
Yeah, but
sometimes bad is bad. Hey, speaking of bad is bad, do you think it's the merger is why we haven't seen New Mutants be released yet? The inside news is that it's not very good.
It's 2 years delayed.
2 years is forever
film. And they reshot two-thirds of the movie.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
No.
Yeah.
At this point, they should have just did like they did with Dark Phoenix. Release it and say, okay, from here on out, the X-Men are their own thing. Yeah. I don't know if it's ever going to make the light of day now.
It may not. I put the over-under on it at around 40% chance.
Maybe I think it has a release date early next year, but
that'll be the third release date.
Yeah. Anything other DC-related TV?
Young Justice Season 4.
Oh, finally.
Yes.
That is a big one, and I forgot to see that. Did they show anything on that?
I don't know if they showed anything or not, but I saw a headline saying it was coming.
I do know it's coming. In fact, if it hasn't already done, they're doing it. They're doing they've done before, but they're doing another Titans Go Young Justice crossover again.
Yeah.
The serious versions of ourselves.
So I am seriously thinking about getting the DC app for a short time just to watch Season 3 of Young Justice.
We've talked about this, too. The DC app is by far the superior app when it comes to the book, comics.
Yeah.
Everything's available.
Yeah.
I think it's like 6 months or whatever. They said anything older than 6 to 8 months, it's not even a full year, is on it.
Yeah.
And everything.
Yeah. That's what the Marvel comic app does, though, too. You have to wait 6 months for it to show up.
Oh, there. Is that what it is?
Yeah. But the problem is, 6 months, you kind of forget what's already come out.
I have already pre-ordered comic book-wise, and we'll do a throw it to Missy-style segment about comic books, and there's one thing I was going to mention. But I pre-ordered the hardcover for Immortal Hulk, finally. October 15th is when it comes out. I've been waiting forever
The new run?
The new run, yeah. It's not been on Hoopla. I don't want to buy the trade paperbacks. I want the hardcover, so I've got that pre-ordered. $35.
It's genuine. It's written like a real horror story, I believe.
Yeah, it's a different style book for sure. So that's it on DC, right?
I think so.
All right, I'll run through other. They showed the trailer, and it looks pretty decent for Snowpiercer. All right, a teaser for that.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Walking Dead, nice teaser. I mean,
yeah.
I enjoyed last season. That shows. I think there's now an expiration date on that show, especially since they also showed
a teaser for the movie.
I did not see that.
But it didn't show anything. It was more just the
title. Just like a teaser.
And it showed a skyline of Philadelphia.
Mm.
So that's apparently where Rick was taken.
Oh, huh, okay.
And
well,
he's doing the movies, right?
Yeah.
Up to 5 movies, I think.
Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know
We're up to how good the first one does. How about that?
Yeah.
Picard, there's a lot of cool stuff from it, I think, for one. It's a pretty big cast of the Next Generation that has joined that show.
Oh, yeah, they're all coming back.
CBS All Access app?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll never watch it.
So because of all those people are coming back, I'm crossing my fingers for Wesley Crusher to return, Will Wheaton, to make his triumphant return for the Star Trek universe.
That'd be cool.
His Dark Materials, I forgot to mention that.
Oh, yeah. That looks awesome.
I can't remember who you credited, but you totally, on a few episodes ago, butchered who wrote His Dark Materials.
C.S. Lewis, isn't it?
No.
No, it's not.
It's not C.S. Lewis.
It's not?
No. C.S. Lewis is...
Narnia.
Narnia. Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh.
Yeah. That's who it was, yeah. This is a take two for His Dark Materials, because The Golden Compass was the first, and it was supposed to be a trilogy, and it just wasn't that good.
No, it was okay at best, but it looks Philip Pullman.
That's it. Yeah, Philip Pullman.
Yeah.
The Witcher, which looked Superman with white hair and a little scary.
Yeah.
So on the pictures alone on the internet before they released the trailer, I was like, this is going to be shitty. It just didn't look that great. And then I watched the trailer and I was like, I'm all in on this. This looks awesome.
It does look awesome.
Yeah.
But let me pose a question to you two. Is this what we're going to see since Disney and Marvel and all that's pulling out of Netflix? Is Netflix going to go to the world of video games to find some good content to make?
Technically, it's books. Those are books before they're video games.
Yeah, yeah.
But which I never read, but I think I'm going to.
But the video game is widely more popular than the books.
Yeah, I think so.
I think they're going deep pulls because, I mean, they're doing Sandman, too.
Yeah, and they also did that Altered Carbon. Like we were talking about that before you showed up. I read the book, and it's by some little known... And it was a pretty good book. I thought the show was okay at best. I think the ending was pretty shitty.
I only got a couple episodes in and stopped.
But yeah, I think they're gonna. They're just gonna dive into like that type of stuff. Are they doing an HP Love? Is HBO doing Lovecraftian? Or is
I don't know if it was Netflix, but there's a Lovecraft series coming out.
Yeah, Lovecraft series coming out. I think
it's
HBO,
Netflix
though.
Also has all the Mark Miller stuff too.
Yeah, the Millerverse.
So Millerverse,
which they've had for a while now, and they haven't done anything with.
Yeah, it could be that Mark Miller, and I've met Mark Miller, like literally sat down and had a beer with him in Chicago.
Yeah.
He's this fun guy to hang out with, but there's also rumblings that he's difficult.
Yeah.
He also, by the way, challenged me to an arm wrestling match. He did not win.
Yeah. That's cool.
It's not like I'm a great arm wrestler, but he's a little guy.
Yeah, he's a little guy. But,
so Netflix actually lost money for the first time in like 3 years, I guess, in the last quarter.
They lost subscribers. They didn't
lose
money.
Which caused their stock price to
drop. Yeah, so they did lose money.
But they also, it's not that they can still report a gain. Losing money is where it sounds like you went negative.
Their stock price went down, which is a big... And it's a scary red flag. Everybody's going to freak out, but I think...
In the same breath, they also opened a giant studio, new one.
Yeah, so, and they're paying top-tier talent.
They have 900 executives in their company.
Well, they're in talks with Eddie Murphy to do a stand-up.
Which, I mean, and that's on for another time for another podcast, but I did watch it. It's Comedian in Cars. It's a 40-minute Comedian in Cars with him.
With Eddie Murphy?
And it's great. It's great. He's great. He's not over the top. He's not kid-friendly. He's Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
The one you want to see.
Yeah.
You know, and the Seth Rogen one's even is good, too, because Seth Rogen is very nervous that he's talking to Jerry Seinfeld.
I like that show a lot.
So we talked. Shudder app, which has been a scary movie app for a long time. Uh-huh. Like it's the Netflix for scary movies.
Yes,
they're doing original programming, and the Creepshow trailer looked awesome.
Yeah,
And then kind of a comic book related, kind of toy related. They announced and showed a trailer for the She-Ra. I never watched the first one, but by all accounts, it's very good. For Netflix.
The Netflix. Yeah. I watched the first season and I enjoyed it. Me
Such
and my daughter
girl.
Watching the second. My daughter and I watch it together. Yeah. I am a girl. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Well, any other TV non DC Marvel and other related that I didn't hit on?
We kind of glazed over the Watchmen though, and I thought
it looks awesome.
I think the dark tone of the thing and like
it's Watchmen.
Yeah.
It's more Watchmen than even the movie was.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I'm just nervous because I didn't like those sequel comics they did a few years ago.
This is not them. It's a sequel to the movie.
Yeah.
Which is what I think is going to be good because those comics from a couple years ago were awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jeremy Irons is in it, so it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the cast is great.
Yeah. And they showed Dr. Manhattan at the end. Well, they just showed his hand.
Yeah, that's the other big thing, too.
Yeah,
we're under the illusion that it's his hand.
Yeah.
Well, they want to lead us to believe, because they could also pull a swerve on that, also.
Yeah, yeah. He picks up a mask. Like, they just show a guy walking, and he picks up a Dr. Manhattan mask, and all you see is his blue hand.
They didn't show a bare torso.
They did show a footage of him on the moon, because one of the girls goes, Mars? Yeah.
Yeah.
Goes, you think you're Dr. Manhattan? And he goes, no, he lives on the Mars.
Yeah.
And they show a TV footage of him up there. I tell you what, right before we jump into comic books.
Right, I got a couple more TV things.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah,
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is officially canceled.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't include it because I thought it was already canceled. To be honest.
So the first season was real slow. Wasn't very good. But once it started interacting with the movies, it got pretty interesting. Especially the because
it
S.H.I.E.L.D.
could be like
Hydra.
Yeah. It was a good compendium to the movies. Yeah.
And it was. But eventually, it kind of spaced itself out. But I haven't watched it since then. But I heard the Ghost Rider stuff was really cool.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it yet, but
they're doing whoever the Spanish kid is, the Mexican,
the car,
car Ghost Rider,
and apparently he's getting his own show on Hulu.
Yes, it's
and,
Hulu.
And we're about to jump into the comic, but I want to do one thing before that. But they also talked in their panel that they expect because of the show, they're going to do some new stuff with the comic, and they're going to bring the character back.
Because that was a limited run, I think.
He's had a regular series, but he's always worked better as a limited run. Yeah. But,
and he's kind of shown up at other places. Like, I think he was an Avenger for a while.
He's in space, I think, right now.
I think that was a totally separate Ghost Rider.
Yeah. Oh, is that a different one?
They do some weird stuff.
Yeah.
But, hey, before we jump into comics, let's go ahead and kick off jumping into comics by rating this beer. Because I'm done. Jay's almost done. Bender's almost done. Again, this is Gigantic Brewing's Johann Kraus, which is a citrus wit. I'm not typically a big fan of wits, but I found this to be a good beer.
It's very refreshing.
Yeah, it went down quick.
So you know that we have a universal untapped scale to rate things from out of five. So Jay, being the guest, we'll let you rate it right out of the gate.
Give it a 2.75.
2.75 is not a bad for a wit for me.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 3. I genuinely enjoy it. It's one of the better wits I've had.
Since we are adhering to Untapped, I can't split the difference, so I'm going to go ahead and lean with the 2.75 and call it right into middle for me. Like, it's just above average, which a 2.75, if you do the math, is above average. So, yeah, I think it's a good beer. So far, the Liz Sherman has been my least favorite. The Hellboy was awesome.
So, the Liz Sherman was good.
It's just that, not my style.
It's hard to put pepper or like that hot stuff into a beer.
Well, people love that. People love those chili styles, those chilies and beer and those moles and things like that. Not my favorite, but so if that's what you're trying to accomplish, then mission accomplished.
So back to the, you know, bringing it back to the beginning of the episode, we were talking about the next release, the Ape Sapien, is a bi-coastal beer that is inspired, this is from the website, inspired by both East and West Coast style IPAs, but with its very own twist. From its first pour, Ape Sapien is an indigo-hued beer that is full of citrus and berry hop flavors. From its use of Citra Mosaic and Nugget hops, the beer is also infused with natural indigo to create this one-of-a-kind vivid
blue.
So a blue
IPA.
Yeah.
All right.
But
that's not the one now. So this
one. We talked about that earlier.
Yeah, so we did. I mean, yeah, you're right. No, you're right. But this is a good beer, worth getting. You haven't heard me say this before, once they're all released, we're going to do another episode where we drink all six, go from zero to drunk in one episode.
Yeah.
This is the first one I had, and I've enjoyed it.
With a stomach ache, because those are a lot of different styles.
Oh yeah, that's running the gamut of drunkenness. So knowing that, I did bring up a few things comic book related, and the first thing I'll start.
Yeah, dig deep for that, huh?
This was the hardest one to do, was the comic book stuff. So Marvel, the big thing in Marvel this year, and the big panel that they did with the executives at Marvel, are the editor and all those great people at Marvel, was X-Men. X-Men's coming out this year. I did break down. So, Jay, on your Facebook, you posted the cipher. Yeah. I did not look to see, was the cipher correct? So people got it right. So
cool.
Here's what we get from X-Men, and I'll run through, and if you guys want to know what the team is.
It should be mentioned that all X-Men books are canceled as of this point.
Yes,
and they're starting over from Hickman's run of House of X.
And Hickman's kind of the architect of the modern X universe.
Yes.
And the titles will be Marauders, which will feature Pyro, Iceman, Storm, Bishop, Emma Frost, and Kitty Pryde. It will be Excalibur, which will feature Richter, Jubilee, Gambit, Rogue, Psylocke. Oh, Psylocke is the new Captain Britain.
Yeah, she's the new
Captain
Britain.
She's the new Captain Britain.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Which is okay.
It's going to get confusing with her, but keep going.
Yeah, and Apocalypse.
Did they split her?
We'll get down to it and bring it up. And Apocalypse, which will be interesting. X-Force, Bender had talked about before. X-Force was like his last X run that he enjoyed, which will have Wolverine, Marvel Girl, Domino, Beast, Kid Omega, Sage, Colossus, and Black Tom.
So on that, they're dividing it into two separate teams there. One, they're calling it like the CIA of mutants. Okay. So there's going to be like your half intelligence, half special ops.
Okay.
So it says Beast, Jean Grey, and Sage are going to be like the intelligence.
That
side
makes
of
sense.
It.
That's very
Beast,
good.
Unless they go different, like X Force was, they were the hitters, and
right.
Beast doesn't stand for murder.
Right.
So
he's going to set up Wolverine, Kid Omega, and Domino for their missions.
Okay.
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm sure it'll work out fine, but I have a tough time with Beast being okay with, you know, actual hits, like taking people out.
I do, but they've changed his character so much over the
years.
I know,
and I don't like his new character in the last couple of years.
So here's where you wanted to bring up. Next one, Fallen Angels, which features X-23, a young Cable, and Psylocke, but it's a mystery character other than Betsy Braddock taking on the mantle of Psylocke.
So in the solicitation for it, it says Quan. Other personality.
Good job. Good job, Diamond.
90s.
Good job, Diamond. You suck. New Mutants. This is from Jonathan Hickman, writing the first arc, at least. Magic, Sunspot, Cypher, Mirage, Karma, Wolfsbane, Chamber, and Mondo. That's a lot of good characters that had came from other books other than New Mutants.
No Cannonball, though.
No Cannonball, yeah. Well,
what I'm curious to see is how they do this, because I haven't been reading it, but I know they killed Sunspot, spoilers, in the current X-Men run.
Did they?
But apparently they've been killing a lot of the characters.
Yeah. So. A lot of people died off, yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, let's just murder them and then not make it count. Yeah. Speaking of every mutant character, X-Men by Jonathan Hickman and Leland Francis Yu, which is obviously their big title because that's their two biggest names on it, will feature every Marvel mutant in the universe. So we'll see how that works.
So on the cover, it shows Wolverine, Rachel Summers, Cyclops, Jean Grey, Havoc, Cable, Corsair, and then somebody in the back who I can't tell who it is.
Intentionally hidden, or is you can just
no?
Not,
I just it's just kind of a bland drawn character.
Oh, slide it over. I want to see if maybe
he's in the back there.
Yeah,
but every one of the covers has had somebody. I'm like, who is that? And then they tell in the solicitation. That one they don't.
Yeah, I don't know who that is either. Huh?
Could that be the third Summers brother?
The Kingmaker, or from that whole War of the Kings story arc. Vulcan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is this Cyclops and this Jean Grey, are they the time-hopped ones, or are these the original?
No, because from what I've read, they've gone back to their timeline.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got a question. What point did they make Iceman gay?
And this time hop. And then when Bendis brought them back from the from the 60s back up to...
I remember that one.
And it was very forced, it seemed like.
So there was two versions of Iceman in the same universe, the old and the young, and it was only the young one that was gay.
Yeah, it's something weird, yeah.
And so the young one was talking to the old one. He's like, you know it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't feel...
We'll see how it works.
Yeah.
It was part of that whole thing.
But he's going to be in this run.
Yeah.
He's going to be getting this run.
They asked
Hickman that question, and he said all things will get answered in...
He's on Marauders.
Yeah. What about anything else X-Men related you guys want to talk about?
I'm excited about this because Hickman's Avengers stuff leading up to Civil War was amazing.
Yeah. He and I have talked about this in the past with Hickman, too. I love Hickman books. My only issue with Hickman is whether it's his Image titles, his Marvel's titles, his Ultimate run, it's all the same tone, all the same story, all the same style.
It's very heavy.
It's
easy to forget what's going on because there's...
It's easy to confuse story arcs between them all. But it's a good thing. The X-Men being back is a good thing.
Yeah, and I like the fact that they're... Because I tried to read X-Men book not too long ago, and just to catch up, like, oh, what's happened lately? And I was reading one, and it's terrible. It's just not fun. The characters aren't
so
interesting.
They're so spread out, too. There's like they got back to the point where there were so many X-Men titles, it was hard to keep track of what's going on.
The last one that I found myself genuinely enjoying was the new Wolverine run where Logan is dead
The
X-23 took over as Wolverine. And they brought in like a younger version of her, which they call Honey Badger. And that was a fun, like self-contained story.
So much
I
going
never
on
got
there.
Too far into that
so
one.
Much
it was
going
fun. I had a good time. And then they bring Old Man Logan back.
Yeah.
The reason I'm happy that X-Men are back is because people forget because of the way Avengers has dominated the last 10 years and the way the movies and all that. Yes, they've done a great job carrying Marvel, but the X-Men carried Marvel for almost 30 years.
Yeah. And so do you think this relaunch is because Marvel Studios has the rights back?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I mean, they made no bones about it. There was an internal memo that they tried to get rid of the X-Men altogether.
Oh, yeah.
And
Fantastic Four.
Because
they disappeared for years after
Just
Secret
destroy
Wars.
Them, yeah. But at least they gave them a story, you know. I mean, so some other Marvel things that have popped up. Absolute Carnage is bringing back Cletus Cassidy.
Yep.
Which is a big. J.J. Abrams is going to write a Spider-Man story.
With his son,
which is big. And apparently Abrams has been... They've been trying to get him for the better part of 10 years to write this story because he's had it that long, and he's finally going to do it.
That's cool.
I figured you'd like that. Spider-Man's my favorite character. They announced the Marvel 1000 and 1001, which is 80 creative teams.
And the debut of Miracle Man.
Yes, and the mystery character is what they called it at the first day, and which is going to be Miracle Man. Sounds like a mess is what I put as my note.
So 56 of those teams will be canceled in the first 2 months.
Well, no. It's 80 creative teams for this book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
80 teams, 80 pages, one team per page.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah. It does.
And then they did have another good teaser, and I love when comic books do teasers, for Annihilation, which is Return of Annihilus.
Yes.
Which I think that even though it wasn't as good as the original, the two Annihilation stories were pretty solid. Even the Annihilus one was
entertaining. I love the first one.
The first one was impressive.
Modern Guardians.
Yes.
And made Nova pretty important.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then even the second one wasn't quite as good, but it was still a fun story about when the Nihilists tried to take it over. So, yeah, I'm super excited about that. And then the only other thing I made note, which I'll give you guys a chance to talk more about Marvel 2, but the last thing I saw was that I enjoyed, really stuck out, the teaser for Marvel 2099 Return.
Yeah.
The 30th anniversary of 2099.
That is my least favorite Spider-Man.
Oh, I love the Spider-Man was one of my favorite out of it. But it was but they were so gimmicky. And they were awful. All awful.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm excited about them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think part of that has to do with Spider-Man 2099 from showing up in Spider-Verse. But I liked how they did the teaser for it where it said 1939 was 80 years ago.
Yeah.
2099 is 80 years
away. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome.
Two Marvel things I saw. The relaunching Ghost Rider with Johnny Blaze and Danny Ketch.
Yes, it's both of them.
They're doing both of them?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and that was we hinted at that a while ago. So, yeah, but they didn't give us any more details.
No, they didn't.
Just that, essentially, what's the editor of Marvel right now? It's
Kevin Feige?
No, he's
the studio.
I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
Alonso?
I can't remember. Whoever it is, as he said, he goes, we're definitely giving attention to this character, and it's going to be these two.
Well, and what they said is Johnny Blaze took over Hell in one of the storylines.
Yeah.
So he's the King of Hell, and Danny Ketch reluctantly becomes Ghost Rider again. That's all they really
say. Yeah, okay. What does it say?
It's going back.
Oh, yeah, it's going back to Jim Shooter and all those guys.
It's going to Ghost.
All right. And then Dr. Doom is getting his own series.
Most Wanted.
Yes.
World's Most Wanted or whatever. Yeah, that was one I meant to bring that up. That looks like a good one.
It does.
I mean, the Dr. Doom is one of the cool things about him is that he has always been a bad guy, but he's singly motivated to beat Reed Richards.
Yeah.
And even though he was a bad guy, he was the leader of his country, so he had diplomatic immunity when he was done right, wherever he went, and it was a sovereign nation, and you really couldn't do much about him.
But he always cared about his nation, too.
He did.
And I thought that was...
That's right.
The guy who pretended to be a Japanese guy online, apparently.
Yeah.
He got in a bunch of trouble for that.
Oh, well, good way to let that slide off of you and stay in charge.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this one, though, he is, in fact, a villain.
True bad. Yeah, I was going to say, like, they did that with a bunch, like Magneto is not really a villain anymore. Like, they got rid of all
They've done that many times, though.
Well,
in the
past. Just like Hollywood trying to make all the villains sympathetic, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of tragic.
I want to get back
to tragic villain. Tragic villain is the big story in Hollywood. Like, they're trying to do it with the Joker. So, you got anything Marvel you want to talk about before we jump?
Obviously, I didn't do any work for this. I'm just here for my looks. But did they talk any Star Wars? Did anybody see that? Because I'm currently
I didn't see
reading
anything Star Wars.
All the Star Wars stuff.
I think they're going to hold that off for D23 next month.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because have you read any of the Marvel Star Wars? Like Dr. Aphra is
comic book wise.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't see anything Star Wars for San Diego Comic Con at all, but I didn't know if they released anything Marvel comic book.
I hadn't seen anything, and unless they do it today, I guess they probably won't do it until next month.
But I was looking for something fun with that, but because I'm genuinely enjoying all those stories. But
I bet at D23 they're going to talk about the road to Rise of Skywalker.
Okay. You know, and we should also say that it is Sunday and Comic Con's still going on.
Yeah. Right,
something could still happen, but as of we're recording this, this is the news that we knew about. It's very odd to not have the trailer for Star Wars.
Yeah.
Out at Comic Con.
Yeah,
I thought it was weird that nothing happened. But
considering they last year or 2 years ago, they took over and then they opened it up and they had fireworks and an orchestra and all that stuff. And
still Kevin Smith's audience.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And they didn't announce Han Solo 2 yet, which I'm really still holding.
Are they still doing a Han Solo 2? I was excited. I don't think that's happening.
There's an online Twitter campaign that they're trying.
I told you I watched it, and it was better than I expected it to
be. I really liked it. I've watched it 3 times now.
It wasn't a movie I wanted, but I really liked it.
It was fun. The only part that I genuinely hated was when he got his name.
Yeah.
I was like, this is so fucked. There's like 3,000 solos then.
It was all fan service, so...
Yeah.
If you're a fan, you liked it.
If he would have came up with his name, if he would have called himself Han Solo, but just to have the guy write it was stupid.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But anyways, that's neither here
nor
there.
How about DC Comics? And I didn't write a whole lot about DC Comics.
I didn't really see much.
Well, Year of the Villain, that's their big thing.
Yeah.
The one problem I have with Year of the Villain is I talked about it on our episode of earlier episode. It's all coming out of Dark Knight Metal, which I thought was so stupid.
Replacing Vertigo.
No. Not Dark Knight.
Oh, Dark Knight Metal. Oh, the actual
Dark Knight
comic.
Metal was awful.
Yeah,
I thought.
I tried.
That said, I did like the Batman who laughs, and that's going to be one of the key people in this villain, this year of the villain or whatever. What you were alluding to was Black Label.
That's
DC
it.
Black
yeah,
Label.
That's it.
And it's not replacing Vertigo. What it's doing, it's giving creators a place to tell stories about any superhero without affecting the continuity of the whole
story.
Yeah,
so they equated it to DC's version of What If.
Yeah.
Or like the old Elseworlds.
It's an imprint that does Elseworlds books, which is, you know, I think it more should have been said. They should have had an in memoriam for Vertigo or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to miss Vertigo, and because most of my childhood really started with, like, Finding Sandman and then later Preacher, and so I think it not enough was made about it. And this Black Label, they were already kind of doing that with these prestige format books.
Yeah.
So it's
didn't they have like the
Superman Year One and
Batman, like they did that.
They did All Star for a while.
Well, and then I think that Black Label did the Batman Dong. Like somebody drew in the issue one.
Oh, but it wasn't in the Black Label though.
Wasn't Black Label? I thought that was like their first. That was the jump off into like the adult version of DC.
Yeah, I thought that existed in the story arc, and then they got mad about it.
If you get the digital print, they take it out.
Because it's Black Label does not necessarily mean it's going to be adult oriented. They said it's just freedom to tell a story without affecting the status quo. It's silly. It's a bit silly.
So it's like how they do their movies.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's the freedom of making a story that's not good.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about it. Yeah. One big thing is this fall there's going to be a big Flash event where they're going to destroy the Speed Force. And I'm kind of conflicted about this because when the Speed Force was created by Mark Waid.
Yeah.
It was some of the best stories, whether it was Impulse or Flash. His run on Flash was unbelievably good.
Yeah.
But then over the years, it's been the cause for Flashpoint and some silly stuff here and there.
The entire CW show is
the entire CW-verse. So I like that they're going to stop leaning on it as a crutch. But it is a sad day because I'm telling you, go back and read that Mark Waid stuff. It was very good.
I was explaining to Madeline this morning that the Jay Garrick Flash was like the first Flash in that they existed together. Like, she just knows the show, so
yeah.
It kind of blew her mind. And so I'm like, the Speed Force wasn't even a thing back then.
Max Mercury, no, who had the equation? It was the girl and her dad had an equation that they would do.
Jesse Quick,
yeah, and her dad had an equation, and then they later retrofitted that the equation was actually just allowing them to access the Speed Force. It was an equation to access the Speed Force. But Max Mercury was the prophet for the Speed. He was the first to identify the Speed Force. Wally was the first to tap into it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Barry didn't even know it existed when he was around.
But that's how he came back, wasn't it?
That's how he came back, yeah. And Impulse was just he was not a product of it, but he just worked well because he was at one time an amazing character.
Oh yeah, he was.
Yeah, and yeah. So, what was his name? His name was
Bart Allen.
Bart Allen. That's right. I knew it was an Allen, but I couldn't remember what it was.
I went back and read those old Young Justice comics where he kind of started out. They don't really hold up.
No, the original Young Justice, that run was iffy. My buddy Big D.
I loved it at the time.
Yeah, my buddy Big D did too, and it wasn't my favorite. But Impulse, though, was awesome. Humberto Ramos' big break. A lot of good stuff in that book. That's worth going back and checking out.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of DC, but yeah, I mean.
Anything else DC related that jumped out at you?
I didn't see anything.
You didn't, obviously. I'm going to get one thing in Image Comic, and then and that was one of the big things I saw is Scott Snyder's Undiscovered Country. They had a panel on it.
Yeah.
Which
that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, so I read it. It is in Undiscovered Country, readers will journey into an unknown region that was once the United States of America, a land that's become shrouded in mystery and literally walled off from the rest of the world for decades. A small expedition enters the former U.S. in search of a cure to a humanity-ending pandemic. They travel inward and learn secrets of what America has become, each member seeking their own form of truth in an undiscovered country. I like Scott Snyder.
Yeah,
his run on Batman was amazing.
I'll check that out.
I'm excited.
His independent stuff usually from Image is at least always starts off really strong.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. I didn't read a whole lot of other stuff. I have one more thing of note, which we'll talk about, but anything other non-DC Marvel related that you saw?
Only thing I saw was about the Walking Dead panel.
What happened there?
Nobody showed up.
Like Kirkman?
Kirkman's,
empty,
yeah.
It wasn't the TV, it was the comic book.
Yeah, it was the comic book. And since he just ended it, they think that a lot of the fans that were upset about how it ended didn't even show up.
Hmm. Wow.
And so he talked about it, and one of the big thing to come out of it is Negan. Negan's still out there living in his cabin.
In the comic,
In the comic, yeah. I haven't read the last trade yet, so I don't know exactly how it ended.
I know how it ended. I read the spoilers.
I know how it ends.
I've seen spoilers, yeah. But like I don't know the details of everything.
I thought the ending, and I stopped
reading. It made sense.
I stopped reading around issue 100, and I'll go back now that it's over and finish it. But I thought what I read, I thought sounded like a fine ending.
It kind of made sense.
I didn't read how the Rick stuff went down. That's what everyone was upset about.
Yeah, because that was that felt like he had a story, and then he just decided to kill him at the end.
Yeah.
Well, he said that he had a timeline for everything, and then all of a sudden he looked down, and he's like, I've used up all my story ideas.
Yeah.
So he just kind of ended it.
He can't fault a writer for that.
No.
Yeah. I mean, why drag it out?
Back to Walking Dead. I know we already finished with TV, but back to that Walking Dead trailer. Two things to note in that trailer. That one was obvious. Negan's more prominently featured. He, you know, he's trying to almost be a pacifist in it. He doesn't want to fight. But at one point, Father Gabriel's looking at, he looks at, Aaron? Aaron, the gay character?
Yeah.
He looks at Aaron, he goes, he's a great fighter, you're short on fighters, you need him. Shut up and make it work. But the other thing that was fun about that trailer is the more humanization and buddy cop feel of Carol and Daryl.
Oh, really?
And they, if you've not watched the trailer, the very end of the trailer, the last, like, 45 seconds to a minute is banter between them, which ends and you're like, how about we just stop talking about it? And she's giving him a hard time. She's like, you want me to knit you a sweater? And, like, are we girlfriends now? And it's just a break from the characters.
Yeah.
So it looks cool. The only other thing I brought up was Alan Moore is retiring. They announced that. And on his way out in the final issue of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Tempest, number 6, so Alan Moore's done this through the years. He does these fake letters at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
He messed up with Marvel and stuff at one point in the letter column. Well, in this one, he created a fake troll to write about ComicsGate, so he responded about ComicsGate, eventually blasting everybody on ComicsGate, which is pretty big.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't know, you know who essentially the creator or who's credited with the forerunning of ComicsGate is... is it Jimenez? The artist. Not Jimenez. He used to... God, what's his name? He's a very jerk. Van Sciver. Ethan Van Sciver. Artist for Green Lantern and all that stuff. So he's a nut job.
Yeah.
And look that up just to be safe. Look up Ethan Van Sciver just to make sure I'm not... I don't want to credit the wrong person for being a chauvinist and all that stuff. But he, you know, essentially is like he come out and he's been blackballed from comics. They're saying that they're forcing, you know, progressiveness on it and all this stuff. Yeah. And so Alan Moore, who's kind of a wackadoodle though, but Alan Moore, I mean, he's created strong women in comics long before anybody did.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with League of Extraordinary Gentlemen with Harkness.
Yep.
He came out and just blasted it on the way out. Like, here's me shitting on all these trolls, and then I'm disappearing, so you can't get back at me.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a cool Alan Moore move. It is Ethan Van Sciver, right?
Ethan Van Sciver and Richard C. Meyer.
Yeah, but Van Sciver is Van Sciver was a superstar for a while.
Yeah, it's him. He's the one who is credited per Wikipedia.
So he's like been blackballed, but he's got his Twitter, and he's went out and shouted from the rooftops that and he went like Alex Jones on us. Like that far. So anyway, so what else comic book wise is there anything to note that you put up?
I think you covered it all.
Which is kind of sad. Kind of sad that, and we've talked about this before, and I've been able to go there when it was a comic show. But I don't know that I have no desire to ever go to Comic-Con International.
I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I don't like being around people, but I would put up with it.
If you guys said, Jeremy, we came up with a good plan, we got this VRBO close, and we want to go, I would be like, all right, for you guys, I'll go.
Yeah.
But it's nothing I will ever go out. I would much rather go to Planet in Kansas City and C2E2 in Chicago.
Yeah.
Because they're still comic shows. You notice I did not say Wizard World in St. Louis.
I think it, maybe next year they should just change it to DisneyCon, because basically
no doubt
they ran the whole
MarvelCon, maybe just call it MCUCon. How about that?
Yeah,
there was other stuff, like you pulled up the picture of like the DuckTales.
Oh, that looked awesome. He's a huge. I mean, I love DuckTales, but he's a huge fan of Darkwing and stuff. Yeah. Me too. The next season of DuckTales, they did announce that every character that's ever been in them, from Kit Cloud Kicker all the way down,
Tailspin,
Gizmo Duck,
Tailspin, plane is there, and I'm like, oh my god,
the entire
nostalgia feel is just so heavy.
I don't know that I've seen this, but I'm guessing it's going to be like the Scroogeverse or something like that.
I don't know.
Because that all that. I mean,
I don't know if you guys
awesome.
Watch that cartoon. Like I watched that cartoon without my kids. Like the new version.
I enjoy it.
It's great.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Very, like, it's
deeper.
A very good
it's adult.
Story.
It's more complex. Like the whole their mom coming back, that being stuck on the moon thing, that was big.
Yeah, it's a
worth
very
watching.
Fun story. Right. And then, you know, they're bringing Darkwing Duck back, so I'm 100% into that. That is my favorite character.
And like I said, Blabber and Blabberscotch, Gizmo Duck's in the picture. I can't wait for it. Yeah.
I almost, we were at Target the other day, and I didn't buy it because if I was by myself, I would have, but I really didn't feel like the bullshit for my wife. But Gargoyles was like one of my other favorite shows as a kid, and they had the Funko Pop of Goliath, but it was him in Stone. Had he not been in Stone, if I could find both of them, I was going to buy them just for myself.
There's nothing wrong with that. But I guess let's do, like I said, we'll do a throw it to Mizzy version of this comic, and I'll start with. I mentioned this to Bender yesterday, but I've been reading as much as I can of late that I can sandwich in. I mentioned that I pre-ordered that Immortal Hulk, but I've caught up on The Boys, essentially.
Okay.
I've never read that.
To get
worth
excited
reading?
For the show. Yeah, I enjoy it a lot.
Oh, it's definitely
I enjoy
reading.
It a lot. Yeah.
I've only read the first.
Isn't it?
What?
Is that a Miller? Mark Miller?
Yes.
No, Garth Ennis.
Oh, okay.
The original Mark Miller.
Okay. I've read, I'm probably about 14 issues into it, but man, it's...
So the first omnibus still,
yeah.
And how many are there? Is there...
There's two omnibuses on Hoopla, but there's a third omnibus that you can get.
Okay.
And I know that's where I read it, too.
Okay.
I know a guy that might have found a way to download them.
Okay.
I can't do it because my PC's not hooked up anymore.
Or we can just pay for it.
You can do that. It made me excited for the show, so I'm going to give the show a chance.
The previews look awesome.
They do.
Yeah,
I showed it to him.
Like a lot of fun. Carl Urban's great.
And actually, you had kind of, when we talked about it, you had kind of dismissed it. You were like, have you seen anything for it? And I'm like, oh, yeah, when we're done.
Yeah.
And I showed him the trailer. You're like, okay, I'm back in.
Yeah, I'm in. Because all you see is like stills, and I'm like, this can't be that good because they haven't released a trailer or anything. And then they finally did. I'm like, okay, this looks cool.
So I'm back on board on that. But more importantly than that, I have been rereading Savage Dragon from the beginning, because Savage Dragon was maybe my favorite. Maybe I know it now, but I didn't then, of my Image launch titles.
Yeah.
And it's still, you know, Eric Larson's still going on it. He's never changed. So I'm starting with the archive. So the disappointment there is that they're black and white. The archives are black and white. The second disappointment is that, especially the first like 20 issues are awful. They're very bad. But there's some things there that I always admired for Larson, and I wanted to bring it up because Eric Larson, maybe more so than anyone, Kirkman did this, kind of really mimicked it with his run on Invincible.
They crossed over, didn't they?
I mean, a lot of the Image did. And that was one fun thing about rereading the crossover with the Turtles, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Crossover with Youngblood, crossover with Wildcats. All of that was in there. And then Image, those guys ended up not being able to get along, so they just kind of did their own thing.
Yeah.
But more than only... Kirkman is the only guy that's come close to this. But Larson literally creates a million characters.
Yeah.
A million. Looks... personality, names, powers. He just, like, he's a Kleenex box for character creation.
Well, and he created books for a lot of those characters, but you didn't need to go and read
Freak
them to
Force,
understand them.
Vanguard, Wildstar, Super Patriot, Mighty Man.
Yep.
Which Mighty Man, by the way, was the first, I mean, was a female nurse that transformed into a superhero. So, I mean, he kind of
did. A male superhero?
Yeah, it turned out to be a male superhero. Because the superhero died, and before he died, he transferred the power to her. But, I mean, it's not great. I hope it gets better, because I'm really going to give it a shot all the way past 300.
Yeah.
But
that's been going for how long?
Ever since 96, when they are, or not 96, 94. 94, So I'm,
I was going to guess 91. I thought it was 91.
I'm giving it a shot to keep going. It was it's a struggle at times, but I'm powering through. So what about you, Jay? What comic book-related stuff have you been up to of late?
We just watched Shazam.
The movie, I've yet to watch it.
Did you like it?
It was good.
Okay.
I mean, it was a lot of fun. There were some story issues there, but they set it up perfectly to keep making the movies. And
why not just start there? Just say no other DC stuff happened, and let's just start there.
There was one other DC interaction in the at the end, but
does it tie into Wonder Woman at all?
No.
But speaking of, why didn't they talk about Wonder Woman 1984?
I don't know.
I don't think they showed anything.
No, that doesn't make sense.
Something came out a few weeks ago.
I saw a poster.
A retro poster.
Yeah.
Why haven't they not? I mean, that's arguably their biggest success.
Yeah.
I think DC made a decision as a whole to just not really have much of a show.
Because they don't want to be like Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
why be like a successful company?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they could go in and promote Joker. That comes out in a couple months.
Yeah, ride the coattails at the very least.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, and then I'm reading The Rook. It's going to be a series on Amazon.
What is it?
Are you reading that book? I tried. I didn't dig it a lot.
What is it about? It's kind of, the book describes it as like Ghostbusters meets Harry Potter. It's about magic in the real world.
So, people are kind of like, they're not, it's not anything, the way I Olivia Munn was on something and she was saying like, you don't have like crazy superpowers. Like if you're, things that people can already do, so people can be stronger, or people can be hear better, further. It's human abilities just
amplified.
Thank you.
So it's set in England. They pull them into like MI5 or MI6, like one of those organizations, and they use them as operatives, and they kind of cover up any of this stuff that happens.
And it's on Showtime.
Hulu.
Is it Showtime or Cinemax?
Or is it Showtime?
Or Stars. It's one of those.
I thought it was Amazon, but I don't know.
No, it's not. I think it's Stars. Is it?
Which makes sense. Stars does a lot of shows.
Yeah.
Hey, we didn't touch on this. That trailer came out, and I don't really want to get into it, but I'm at least interested. The Kingsman prequel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't see it.
It looks
good. I saw the last movie. They're
the
fun movies.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, it looks good. It's a very different tone because it's the original.
Yeah. I thought, like, when they announced this, I was like, this sounds stupid.
Looks
like
good.
They're stretching. And then I watched it, and I'm like, this looks like a lot of fun.
I mean, if you see that about the first two movies, too, you're kind of the same way. Yeah. But then,
so out of five on The Rook that you're reading?
It's hard to say. I'm about 70 pages in.
Okay, so until you're done, we won't.
I got about halfway through, and I fell off. I just couldn't get into it. I just never. I'm not trying to discourage you. It just didn't catch me like I wanted it to. But is it a series or is it one book?
I don't know.
I think it was supposed to be a series. I don't know if anything else came out.
I grabbed it from the library. So
okay.
Anything else you got?
I just started, or I'm about halfway through, I think it's volume 10 of Sandman. So good.
Yeah, I've got the first three omnibus.
Yeah.
Sandman was the first comic to win crossover literary awards. Yeah. In fact, it won so many that they disqualified comic books as the real literary community kind of pushed back and said, well, comic books aren't true literary form.
Yeah,
so they,
it's bullshit.
Yeah, right. And Neil Gaiman was like, all right, so I'll start writing books and start winning your damn awards. Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't read this sooner.
It's because you're like me, you're close enough to my age, and I've got friends that are about, like my very good friend, owner of the Comic Cave, Josh Roberts, that was his favorite book forever, might still be, and he's about 8 years older than me, was right in the wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Of that book. I mean, he may not be eight. I may be aging him a little bit. But, like, so it was kind of when I really jumped into comics, it was past Sandman's, like, it was still going, but it's like heyday. And when I tried it originally, it was so complicated.
Yeah.
And now, though, after going back and rereading it, I was like, oh, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
So.
I am.
Go ahead. No, that's it.
Like, I have Kindle Unlimited, and they have everything Star Wars, basically. All
and you've been reading the heck out of those.
Dude, I am all in. Like, I really want to see... I don't necessarily need to see on the big screen, but I would love to see, like, Disney do a Dr. Aphra show. So Dr. Aphra is, like...
Is female Aphra?
Aphra.
It sounds kind of like you're slurring Dr. Aphra, which we don't want to get into. This is not what that is.
You've read it, right?
Yeah, it's the Star Wars equivalent to black exploitation.
So she's like an Asian, she's like a bad Indiana Jones, I would say, in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. She's an archaeologist that's out for herself.
Yes. Yeah, she's very selfish. Like, so she's not evil. She's
the Han Solo of archaeology.
She's kind of.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's Han Solo and Indiana Jones.
Okay. Yeah. Likes to say,
woman.
Hold on. And they made her a woman.
Yeah. An Asian
Has
woman.
No one said that in print before? Because that's too easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it worked. Like you think, like, oh, it's going to be terrible. But it works. Her character works. She's a lot of fun. Also, she's a lesbian, you know.
What's that got to do with anything, John?
Nothing. It was just very progressive.
I feel like we don't need to bring it up.
We're so progressive that we don't need to bring it up. She's also an Asian lesbian, so it's very progressive.
Yeah.
Anyways, but they have a evil version of C-3PO and an evil
which might be one of the coolest parts of it.
R2-D2. What is it, Triple E, or is it... I'm blanking on their names all of a sudden. BT and... what's that? But
Triple Zero.
Triple Zero, that's it.
Yeah.
And they're
which that's
psychopaths.
A name for a bad guy.
They installed the Tarkin protocols, which made them killer droids.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And they're psychopaths.
That's awesome.
And they're running an underground, like, they're the new Jabba the Hutts, basically. And they're the first, like, robots to ever do this, and it's great. And then there's a bad
well, they don't even have to be the new Jabba the Hutts. The Hutts are all organized criminals.
Yeah, they're running an organized crime, and but they make it look like somebody. It's great. And there's a bad Wookiee in there.
Black Crustacean.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
A bad Wookiee.
Dude, it's just so much fucking fun. And
it is.
I love it. And the Star Wars book itself, I'm also reading. Not as much fun. It's okay.
Yeah.
But the Darth Vader stuff is spectacular. And then the Dr.
That Darth
stuff.
Vader run, the original one, that miniseries from when Marvel got it back, was awesome.
But they've continued it, and it's...
Is it a regular series?
Yeah,
so
regular
they did
series now.
25 or 25 issues between 4 and 5.
Yeah.
And then they switched it to right after episode 3. So it's him hunting down Jedi with the Inquisitors.
So
the
new one is I need to catch up on that.
Vader, Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith. And I haven't started that arc yet.
Oh,
it's finished
good.
His last one.
I liked it better than the first series.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
That's saying
Vader
a lot.
Down? Did you like it better than Vader Down?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't started that
and
one
And you
yet,
enjoyed
so
those.
Out. Yeah.
So that's saying a lot.
And it's... I just want to see... Like, I would love to see Dr. Aphra on, like, the Disney app as,
so
like, a show.
Let's do something weird. Let's not rate a book, but let's take the entire Marvel... Star Wars verse, since they've got it back. What's your rating for the entire they've done that?
I'd probably go 4 out of 5.
That's strong.
I agree.
That is strong.
Very good.
Well, I mean, they have Jason Aaron. They have Kieran Gillian. He did some of them.
Spurrier's doing Dr. Aphra now.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, the Dark Horse universe was awesome in the 90s.
Yeah.
Starting with... Dark Empire 2, and then Tales of the Jedi, the original Tales of the Jedi. There was a lot of good stuff.
So those omnibuses are on the Kindle app, too, and I'm going to... They have, like, an Old Republic omnibus and stuff, and once I'm done with all these and
droids,
all caught up,
that
I'll
first
go back.
Droid theory from Dark Horse was very good.
Yeah.
So Marvel, and one of the things that made me do, like, a ugh moment was Marvel getting it back and forgetting everything. But I got to tell you, they're doing a great job.
They've cleaned it up, and they've kept the good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're working with the story group to make sure nothing that they tell in the comics will contradict future
toast.
Stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So everything is lined up so they don't have this comic contradicts this last book that came out, which contradicts what they did in this
movie.
There's,
like,
so,
for instance, with the X-Men, there's an overarching guide, like Hickman will be for the X-Books, which is smart. I mean, that's when... I mean, Jeff Loeb was that in D.C. He might still be. I don't know. I don't think
because he's doing Marvel TV
That's
now.
Right. That's right. He's doing Marvel TV. There was a time where it was the House of Ideas was Bendis and Miller and those guys. And sometimes when that works, it's the best storytelling in comics.
Yeah.
When it fails, it's just because it turns out the guy you put in charge kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But
I think I have so much fun with it. I genuinely...
So did you read the Lando series?
Not yet.
That's
a good downloaded. One. I just haven't gotten to that one yet.
Yeah, that's before he shows up in anything in Star Wars. So.
Okay.
So him and Lobot, early adventure.
He crosses over with Han Solo's wife, the other bounty hunter.
Sana,
yeah.
Yeah.
I did read a crossover story with them and the other Star Wars, and it he's a good character. They write him well. Like,
yeah.
Like, he sound like in my head when I'm reading it, it's Billy Dee Williams.
Yep. You
know? It's great. I haven't had this much fun with comics in a long time.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Is it spread over? Is there any other comics other than Star Wars?
Nothing that I'm
nothing
really,
that jumps
really
out.
Enjoying.
Save it for the next episode.
I'm reading a little weird Half Past Danger. It's World War II, Nazis, dinosaurs. It's
makes
fun,
sense.
But it's not great. It's okay.
That's kind of like those. I told you, and I meant to bring it up, but that book I read, which was like essentially Poltergeist in Space.
Yeah.
It's fun. It was only 6 issues of all I read so far. If I somehow pops up my feed the second trade, I'll read it. If not, okay.
Yeah. It's very campy Nazis this and that. It's fun though.
How about we do this? We much like I expected, we went an hour and a half on this episode. So and it went by pretty quick, I think. So let's just anything beer like this beer or beer sauce or even and thanks to the Beer Sauce Shop for having this release again. Again, 318 Mid Rivers Mall Drive. If you haven't come here, come here. Andrew's a good friend, Uncle Dave's working, Sean's behind the bar today. As you listen to this, that'll
food's
all
good.
Be over.
I had
food's
my first
good.
Sandwich here today at a Cuban. I genuinely enjoyed it.
So,
I loved it.
So we appreciate them for doing the Hellboy releases. I got a feeling we'll be back for the next one, which should be in about 6 weeks-ish.
That's too long, but okay.
Yeah.
And maybe we can get another episode in. I promise you at some point we're going to go back to the analyzing a year format. There's been a lot happening. It's been a lot happening. So, but anything related to what we've talked about today or anything more comic book related you want to say on the way out, Jay?
No, I'm good.
He's gold. Thanks again, Jay, for joining us.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Bender,
that's
you good?
Fun. No, I'm good.
You want to tell people?
Hold on to your butt.
Yeah, we'll say bye.
All right.
We're good. See ya.